Last week we talked about the name of God, all right? Last week we talked about the names of God, and we kind of found some revelation that helps us trust Him and walk with Him better because we know Him. Today we're going to talk about something else though. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'll worship toward your holy temple. Of course, we don't have to worship toward the temple. That was Old Testament. But we do the second part. Praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Last week we talked about his name. Today we're going to talk about his word. Because he's actually magnified his word above his name. So just like it's more important what I say than whether you call me by my name or not. You could call me by a nickname. You could mess up my name. Most people misspell my name. You know, even after 10 years, they misspell my name. It's okay. I don't care. But I do care if you know what I said. I do care that you trust my word. I do care what I've said to you because that was my will. You messing up my name doesn't matter to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is important for all of us, okay? Listen, in the old day, only the priest or the preacher or the pastor really knew his Bible well because he had, quote, gone to school for it. And everybody else was just allowed to do nothing. Just come and listen to what I've found and then you can go about your merry way. But those days are over. Have you noticed those days are over? In the Bible during Samuel's day, it says the word of the Lord was rare, that there was no open revelation. So the King James says precious. The word of the Lord was precious. There was not much word or revelation of the word in those days. And those are always sad days. If you read the Old Testament, there were seasons when there was no law, the book was lost, or when there was no open revelation and the people were depressed and destroyed. And then God would raise up a prophet with the word of God to remind the people, to lead the people, to command the people. And then great joy would come and the nation would get out of its calamity. Today, we don't really have that problem. There is lots of revelation. There is more open revelation now than ever before. It's at our fingertips. All we got to do is boom, revelation. All we got to do is hang out with one Christian man. They're going to quote all sorts of stuff. We got Bibles in every language everywhere around the world. So there is great revelation everywhere now. The question is, do you have it in your heart? You have to have your own revelation. You can't just live off of other people's cute sayings or even powerful sayings. You can't live off of other people's powerful quotes. You have to get the revelation in your heart. You have to hear it, learn it, see it, and then apply it enough to where it takes root in you. Then all of a sudden, it's not just a little cute quote. All of a sudden, it's the way you are. All of a sudden, it's your connection to God, and it changes everything. So everybody in here needs revelation. Everybody needs the word of God if you're going to have any life whatsoever. Hallelujah. The gospel, let me just do a little gospel recap, all right? The gospel causes us to do a few things. The gospel, the good news calls us to repent, number one, from a godless life. So I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but the good news of Jesus Christ coming to the earth, God Himself coming into our presence, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, that good news calls us to repent from a godless life. Then it calls us to receive Jesus as Lord of our life and to receive the Holy Spirit as our life companion, our life guide. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to receive Jesus as Lord and His Spirit as your life companion. And then He calls us to, by the Word of God, know His will. So we receive His Word as His will. As soon as you believe in God and receive Jesus, now you got to know God's will. What does He think? What does He want? Who is He? Who are you? He tells it to us right here in the Bible. So he calls us to learn the Bible and learn his will. Then he calls us to live by faith in this word. He causes us, the gospel calls us to live by faith in this. In this word, or in the word of the Holy Spirit, that's what we're called to do. And then the fifth thing the gospel calls us to do is share this good news. From beginning to end, share the fact that Jesus is the only way. And share the fact that all Christians must learn the Bible. And share that all Christians must live by faith in the Bible. All right? So I don't know where you're at, but everybody needs to follow those five things about the gospel. You are called not just to get a ticket to heaven. You are called to commit to the Lord Jesus in a real way. And so that's why we're serious here at Houston Faith Church. We play a little bit here and there, but overall, we're very serious about the kingdom of God. How about you? So much so that we're expecting everybody to walk with him. Not just hang out on the side and let the parade go by. This is not a parade. You have to be part of the parade. Has anybody ever been part of a parade? Did you have any fun? I wasn't a big parade person, but I was in one time. Doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But this word does mean something. Okay, now listen. In a culture, which every culture has had this problem, but today it's just kind of even more in your face because of media. That every culture has this issue of being contrary to the Bible. Every generation has had to grow up and learn how contrary their world is to God's word. And so we have to admit some things about life today and go get some real answers from God's word, or we'll turn out a little twisted. The word wicked in the Bible is twisted, and that's what culture's done. They've taken all sorts of truth and they've twisted it. The Bible predicts that this would happen. That in the last days there would be people that were calling good evil. Calling good evil. That's what's happening today. Everything's kind of twisted up. And so we have to recognize what truth is. And then somebody says, they've even twisted truth. And they said, you know, truth is relative. What's true to you may not be true to somebody else. So tell your truth. Well, that just means that there is no truth. That just means that truth is in the eye of the beholder. Whatever you think is true must be true. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, 50 years ago, if somebody would have said that, you'd have slapped them. I mean, the parent would have spanked them. Like, hush up. There's a right way and a wrong way. There are things that's true and things that are false. Today, news media can just say anything and act like it's true. And so there is truth. Thy word is truth. And so there's some absolutes in this life still today. Now I know what sometimes they mean is tell your truth means tell your story. Sure, everybody has a story, but don't mistake that for reality. Reality can only be found from the Bible. And so from the LGBTQ crisis to all the other social conflicts and such that just seem to have this humanism or humanistic control, where it's all about the human, leaving God out of the whole mix. Nobody wants to admit what God might think. Nobody wants to admit any kind of anchor or bounds to this life. In a life like that, we need some truth here. Listen, if you receive Jesus, you've committed to him. And he has some truth. He is truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you really want God, you're going to have to go and bend toward the truth. You're going to have to let the Bible, the words of God, break you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if the word of God, if you will fall on the word of God, you'll be broken. How many of you want to be broken? Okay, this is a good breaking. This is breaking from your stupidity. It's breaking from your egotistical life. It's falling on God's word so you can be broken of your pride, your self-will, broken of all of your greediness, broken of all of your twisted wickedness. So falling on the word of God allows you to be broken. So you and I need to fall on his word. You're just going to have to read the Bible or hear it preached and say, okay, that settles it. That's it. Bam. Bingo. Not in church, but bingo. Yes. Solved. Crisis solved. Answer given. No more argument. You and I have to fall on his word like that if we're going to succeed. If we're going to actually encounter God, you're going to have to treat his word like that. You're going to have to magnify his word higher than your fancy name calling. You're going to have to magnify his word higher than your religious traditions. You're going to have to magnify his word. I mean, we can overcome a lot of strange cultural church traditions. We can overcome it as long as we know the word of God. I mean, there's churches that do lots of strange things. And I'm not a proponent of those things, but I don't care as long as you exalt the word of God. As long as the word of God is preached in a place, I'm okay with it. Why? Because it is the pinnacle of everything. Matter of fact, if Jesus is Lord, then his word is Lord. Because he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's Jesus, referring to the person of Jesus, the Son of God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. People say, well, I sure wish I could have walked in Jesus' day. If I could just have a vision and go walk the streets of Galilee with Jesus himself, I'd believe stronger. Jesus is the Word. So if you'll just walk with the Word, it'll be just as good. If you can treat his word as if it was him, you'll have a good life. He said it's more blessed to believe without seeing. People, what would happen is you'd get addicted to his flesh. And I'm sure that that's how come he only stayed for 3.5 years. The disciples are like, no, we got to keep you forever. Because if I don't get out of here, the Holy Ghost can't come. If I don't get out of here, you're going to suffer. You're going to get too addicted to my flesh. Praise the Lord. So, culture has its own flow. There's a river of this world that is going to lead to destruction. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. But there's a kayak headed upstream. Bunch of Christians in the kayaks. Going against the ways of the world. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it's not so laborious because the Lord is in the boat with you and he's helping you paddle, but you do have to paddle. If you want to do nothing in this life and just take it easy, you're going to end up drifting back in the ways of the world, headed for destruction. So you and I do have to, you know, put on our Christian breeches and paddle upstream. Narrow is the gate. Straight is the way that leads to life. That means there's not a whole lot. He said, men, few there are that find that way. It's easy to go with the world. And so, listen, for parents and for teenagers and children, we have to fight against allowing the culture to dictate reality. Amen. I don't care how many people do it. I don't care how much evidence they have out there. We're going to have to let the Word of God dictate things. Right. Now, we have to use wisdom and application. We can't just go, create our own city and hide from the world. So that means we got to spend a lot of time coaching our children and our teenagers and ourselves to not buy into the lies. Like here's one: climate change is going to destroy the earth, and I have to be scared for my grandchildren's sake. That's one thing the world is saying. That's not true. You don't believe in climate change? Sure, I believe in climate change. It's changing all the time. It's been changing forever. Temperatures up and down and up and down and. Sure, the climate's changing. That's just the way God made nature. It's cyclical. It's all over the place. Sure, no problem. How do I know that the world's not going to end? Because of human... Listen, humans can't destroy this earth. How do I know? Because the Bible says that God's going to destroy the earth at the end. That means there's got to be an earth left. This whole global climate change fiasco and scare is really just humans without God wanting to be God, trying to convince the world that we have the power to save the earth or kill the earth, etc. You can't do it. Sure, we need to be good stewards. Sure, we need to keep things clean. Sure, we need to be honorable here, but we're never going to destroy the earth. The earth will remain just as it is until the 7-year tribulation, when Christians are already gone. During that 7-year tribulation, God's going to destroy a third of the earth with fire. And then the waters, a third of the water. And then at some point, after 1,000 years of Jesus' return and reign, he's going to destroy the whole earth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But only believers in God can go that far. Everybody else is trying to find a cause to live for. We have a cause. Save the whales, yeah. It used to be save the trees. You had tree huggers. Now it's like they forgot all about the trees, and it's no more plastic, no oil. So plastic replaced trees, but now they're back to trees. Spotted owls. You need a bigger cause than living to save some extinct bug. A lot of these causes, they're humanistic. And what I mean by that is, because they don't have a real purpose, they don't have a real cause, meaning live for God, find out his purposes, we create our own. Because everybody wants to live for something. What I'm trying to do is help you live for Jesus. I'm trying to help you pick up the cause of Christ, because there's only one true cause to live for. Every other cause will lead to corruption. The cause of Christ is the only true cause for any Christian to live for. Every other cause in this life leads to corruption, meaning money, power, control. All right, so we got the fact that the Bible is the truth. There's no other truth but the Bible. You got it? Everything that goes on, everything that you consider, you need to filter it through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God needs to be our first go-to and our last go-to. And then in the middle, make sure you go to it. So to get any answer, go first to the Bible. If you hear anything out there, go first to the Bible. And then as you wrap it up, go back to the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, as a Christian, I was a Christian for many years. I was a Christian for, 20 years, from age 5 to 26. That's 21 years. And I believed in Jesus, believed in God, and I knew he was the anchor for everything. But I didn't really know the Bible. I didn't really know God's Word. It's hard to read at first, especially if you start in the Old Testament. How many of you, when you started reading the Bible, you started in the Old Testament? Raise your hand. Well, how many started in the New Testament? How many haven't started? You start in the Old Testament, it's like, ugh. I mean, it takes a lot of hand-holding if you start in the Old Testament. If you start in the New Testament, you can pretty much read it by yourself, at least the first time. And then you need somebody to help you walk through it and hold your hand, learn the New Testament as well. But I didn't have the revelation I needed. I didn't know that what the Bible said was full of applicable life application truth for us today. And then when I got hold of it, it's like, wait a second. This solves my crisis. The Word of God solves all of my crisis. The Word of God takes care of every aspect of your life. If you'll open it up and get in there, it'll take care of everything, even relationships. It'll take care of your self-image. It'll take care of your lifestyle. If you'll let somebody else besides yourself tell you what to do, it'll be easy. Look, left to yourself, you don't know what in the world to do. Most people need a boss. Most people need a boss at work. Even bosses need a boss. Because we need somebody to tell us. That's why we all need God. If we're trying to live life without God, you're going to be frantic, you're going to be anxious, you're going to be stressed out. And that's why putting too much burden on humans, and especially teenagers, causes all sorts of anxiety. You need to relinquish all of your stress and all of your decision-making to God. How do you do that? Cast your care upon the Lord. Once you have a leader in life, it makes it easy. Isn't that what they tell you when you go to the military? Just follow orders and you'll live. Follow orders and you're safe. Follow orders. It's safe if you follow orders. Isn't that right? Some of you are thinking, I don't know about my staff sergeant. You know, I'm not sure about that. Well, God's a pretty good leader, so you can follow him and be safe. All right, let's try to run through some of these things about the Word of God. Number one, God operates everything by his Word. He operates everything by his Word. If he wants it to happen, he's going to say it. If he expects it, needs it, desires it, he's going to say it. And he's going to say it to people that either wrote it in the Bible or that he needs to execute something unique in this modern day. Not a new truth, just a new command or order, like start a church. Okay, you can't just read that in the Bible and go start a church. You have to hear that from the Spirit of God, etc. All right, so go to Isaiah 55 with me. This will help you. For me, this was one of my foundation scriptures that helped me start to have some extreme confidence in God's Word. Isaiah 55. Extreme confidence. Listen, you and I need extreme confidence in God's Word. Extreme confidence in God's Word. Hebrews, it says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds this entire universe with his word. His power comes from his word. He created the earth with his word. It still spins the way he created it with his word. Jeremiah 1, you remember he said, I will hasten my word to perform it. Another translation says, I'm watching my word to perform it. So when God has said something, he watches it because he will perform what he has said. Why is that? Because he can't lie. In order not to lie, that means he has to do what he said. So his word has this extreme integrity, okay? Meaning you can trust it ultimately for your life. Integrity means it's strong. You can trust it. You know, if a piece of steel has integrity, it means it won't break. You can trust God's word. It has integrity. And this is how you get miracles to happen in your life. How many of you would like to see a miracle happen in your life? Like a real miracle happen in your life. Like no, where you knew for sure God actually did something. Not where you accidentally got the job because you faked your resume, but because God actually did a miracle. And it can be in any arena of life. To get a miracle takes his word. If you can trust his word as the absolute authority, you will start seeing miracles in your life. Little ones, medium ones, and big miracles. They happen because somebody believed his word. All the big things in the Bible happen because somebody believed God's word. All the big things that happen now are because somebody somewhere believed his word. By faith, anything's possible. If you can believe his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God thinks way bigger than us. You understand? Now, because Jesus Christ allowed us entrance into the Spirit, to where he lives in us and we live in him and we both live in God, we can now have the mind of Christ. So our mindset is a lot higher than it used to be, but it's still not quite as high as God's. He still sees it a little bit higher than you and I do. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he's talking about the rain. As the rain goes up, comes down, goes back up, comes down, goes back up, comes down, so that it can make seed grow, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for for which I sent it. Okay, kind of a cool way to say it. Put it on a Hallmark card. Let's sing a song about it. Or how about this? Let's apply it. Let's apply it. What this means is the rain does its job. God's word does its job. The rain always does its job. God's word always does its job. These are principles of life. God's word always does its job. If you will believe God's word and plant God's word, or we could say rain down God's word, what he has said will work. If you can apply God's word to your situation, it will work. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the thing that he pleases. And it will prosper to the thing that he sent it to. So when God said something, if you can believe that and get it into your heart, and then I would say, also say it. If you can make that word part of your life and stand firmly on it, it will prosper to the thing that it said. So if you need a miracle in your life, get the word. If you need something in life, what you're saying is, I need the word. People do this all the time. They're like, well, I need God. I need God. If you need God, what you're saying is you need his word. Because he is the word. Because his word represents him perfectly. So if you think you need, how many of you need God? What you're saying is you need his word. You don't need just an emotional transaction with God. You need his word. I need a miracle. What you're saying is, I need his word. If you're saying, I love, how many of you love Jesus? If you're saying you love Jesus, then you're saying, I love his word. Because we know he's the word for sure. If you're saying, I'm hanging on to God, what are you saying? I'm hanging on to his word. If you're saying, I'm standing on the Lord, I'm standing on his word. You need to be, I need healing. You need his word. I need a job. You need his word. I need provision. I need help. You need his word. Oh God, you need his word. Listen, if you need to understand this, that this is the secret to faith. Faith is not blindly wishing and hoping God would finally make a way. Faith is knowing that you need God and going to his word to get him. Faith is having confidence in the integrity of what God has already spoken. The word of God is everything. You and I need to give attention to his word. Proverbs 4 says, my son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Give attention to his word. Start having some confidence in God's word. It'll cause money to come. It'll cause you, I remember one of the first things that I had done, maybe not the first thing, but a couple years into my walk with God, I was traveling and preaching and having to drive my four-wheel drive pickup truck. And it was a gas guzzler. And I remember I was in East Texas and I was filling up my gas tank and I was calculating in my mind how much money I had in my pocket, how much gas I needed to get from the next towns. And I was kind of stressed out about it and I was thinking, okay, shit, I'm only going to put $15. And this was when gas was about $1.79 or something. How much gas should I put? $15, that'll get me. And I'm kind of just kind of calculate how much I can afford. And I thought, wait a second. Wait a second. I know God has called me to do this. And I know his word says he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I know that those who preach the gospel will live of the gospel. And you can apply other scripture yourself, that those that if you'll work with your hands the thing that is good, if you'll work, you'll get paid. If you'll do things honestly, with integrity, and you'll just work an honest day, you'll get paid. You can all expect to be paid if you're diligent, honest, follow Bible principle. And so I just sat there and I said, you know what? That's it. I'm filling this thing up. And from this day forward, I'm always going to fill up my truck. I am never going to calculate. I'm always going to fill it up because I know I'm going to need gas every week. And if I have to put it on a credit card, I will pay the credit card off at the end of the month. That's the only way to really use a credit card, is make sure you pay it off at the end of the month. Then it's an easier transaction. You don't have to walk in the store every time, in the store, change, in the store. No, you just sip it, slide it, remove card quickly, leave card in, whatever they say. They're all confused. They never get it. They keep changing it. And so I made that decision when I was 29 years old. And I have always filled up my truck since. And I have never gone without any money. And therefore, I don't ever have to look at gas prices. I don't ever have to complain about gas prices. I don't care. Now, economically, I like to look at what gas prices do to the economy. So I do look at that, but I don't care where I fill up. I'm not going to drive 10 miles to go to the cheapest gas, wasting gas to get there. I'm not going to stress out about the gas price. If the gas price goes double, triple, quadruple, no problem. God will have to find another way to get some income to me. I know He will, because He said He would. You know, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus, and the gas prices. This is just a simple little step. You've probably already made the same decision in your life. It's a simple way to apply God's word to overcome natural stress. So don't raise your hand, but how many of you were a little stressed out by the gas prices? Things get tight, you get a little stressed out, a little upset. You shouldn't have to be stressed out about that. Oh, no. Christians are a different breed. Then I found it for healing. I needed healing. Went to God, got healed. Stood on His word, got healed. Stood on His word for 3.5 hours, got healed. Stood on His word for 15 minutes, got healed. I found a way to trust His word so that I could get miracles. I found a way to trust the integrity of God's word so that it would happen for me. You understand what that means? I began to follow what He said. My words are spirit and life. Jesus said in Matthew 4 that you cannot live by bread alone. Not even good bread. Not even homemade bread. Not food alone. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You have to live by, it's compared to food. The word of God is compared to food a lot. That we're supposed to feed on His word, feed on His faithfulness, feed on His word. I am the bread of life. My words are, all of those connotate this idea that we have to feed on His word. And I remember the first time that happened to me, that I felt like I had eaten something. I had gotten sick one night and I felt like I was getting a fever and a cold. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll just go to sleep and this will wear off. I'll sleep it off. But I thought, wait a second, no, this doesn't feel normal. And I know that if I just go to sleep, I'll wake up sick. And so I got my Bible out and I went and got in the chair and I thought, okay, I'm gonna read the Bible until I get well. I just had this extreme confidence that the Word of God was life, that my words are spirit and life to those who find them. I just had this feeling, you know what? The Bible can heal me. Started reading in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, got to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, got to verse 11, and I read verse 11, and as I read it, it felt like a pill went into me. I felt something go into my spirit. I mean, it took me, you know, 10, 15 minutes to read 8 chapters, went into my spirit. I felt it, and I thought, that's it. Closed my Bible, went to bed. Woke up totally well without any symptom. The Word of God by itself healed me. I was seeking it. You got to seek it. You got to want it. You got to have some confidence in His Word. And you never know which exact scripture is going to do it for you. So you can start with Romans like I did. You can just skip to Romans 8:11 if you want to. I have used Romans 8:11 to stay well for years. And a few other scriptures. But for me, that was a very clear one. How many of you have already looked up Romans 8:11 as we're talking? I see one. Anybody else? Any other cheaters? I mean, any other diligent? It's the scripture that says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, raised him up from the dead. If he dwells in me, then the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive my mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in me. So if the same Spirit that raised up Lazarus raised up Jesus, that's pretty miracle working power. If he lives in me, he'll make me alive. So you can use that now so that if you get sick, he'll make your flesh get well. Of course, in the end, he will also resurrect your body. But you got to find a way to start trusting God's word over all the circumstance. You're going to have to take a stand at some point. Take a stand on God's word. Take a stand where you're not going to be moved. Even if the clock's ticking, you're not going to be moved. Even if it looks like nothing's happening, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. Hallelujah. You need to catch the spirit of faith from somebody. You need to catch the spirit of faith. What does it mean? It means somebody who's determined to stand on God's word no matter what. It doesn't take forever. It doesn't take forever. You don't have to go to Bible school to catch the spirit of faith. You catch the spirit of faith in one meeting. I caught the spirit of faith in one cassette series back in 1995. One cassette series, about a 10, you know what a cassette is? About a 10 cassette tape series on teaching about faith in the Word of God. I caught the spirit of faith. One series. It solved it. Helped me understand how to live this life of faith. Helped me understand how valuable the Word of God was. Glory. So when you say, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting his word. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. First John is a little John. Towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. His word is the basis for everything concerning faith and prayer. So people say all the time, you know, I still pray. Well, I haven't been going to church, but I still pray. What you're saying is you've been reading his Bible and talking to God. Praying is not just rehearsing all your troubles. You know this. The word has to be the basis for your praying. You just telling God all the things you need, all the problems you have, that's really not prayer. That's just rehearsing your troubles. How many of you like to rehearse your troubles to God? I heard God's voice one time. He said, you know, prayer, he said, prayer is supposed to be the replacement for your worries. He said, the problem is, a lot of times, people are only rehearsing their problems. He said, if you find yourself worrying, listen, he told me this. If you find yourself worrying after you've prayed, then what you did was not prayer. It was only rehearsing your problems out loud. True prayer involves standing on God's word. I've done that so many times where I was about to go re-pray something. I just did it this morning. I was about to re-pray something before I came in here. And I stopped myself, or the Holy Spirit stopped me, and I thought, no, I prayed that last night. I thought, no, I asked him last night. I'm not being prideful or arrogant about it. It would be disgraceful to act like he didn't hear me last night. Do you understand? It would be like distrusting if, why would I have to pray it twice? Now, it's okay to pray more than once about a thing, okay? And there's certain types of prayer that need you coming back time and time again. But there's some things, when you ask, believing, you shall receive. You don't have to re-pray to receive. So if you think about him, you just acknowledge, oh yeah, already he's got that. Thanks, God. So prayer is not just making the request. Prayer is this aspect of communicating. I'm about to pray again, but the Holy Spirit reminds me, no, God's taking care of it. Oh, thanks, God. Yeah, that's right. You got that. I'll just expect that. Why? Because I'm trying to develop my faith. How about you? I'm trying to make sure that I'm growing in faith. I'm trying to make sure that I'm pleasing God with my faith. I'm trying to get better at these things, aren't you? I'm trying to make sure that I have confidence that when I did talk to God, he actually heard. I'm not just talking to say that I talked. And I encourage our prayer meetings. Make sure our prayer meetings are filled with faith, not just talking. And in your personal life, you need to make sure that your prayer life is not just you talking. Because prayer is talking to God. Well, I think that in a conversation with the Almighty God, it would be more important to listen. So you got to give a chance for God to say something. So 1 John 5, prayer is really the anchor point for all faith and requests. 1 John 5, 14 says, "Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, what's his will? Some people have just stopped there and ran off. Well, nobody knows God's will. You know, he's God. Who are we? We don't know his will. No, his word is his will. Come on, he spent a lot of time. He spent thousands of years to record some words on paper and give them to us so we'd know his will. The Bible is God's will. His word is his will. Sure, there's a few things in life, a few decisions you have to make, where to live, who to marry, where not to go, who not to marry. There's a few life decisions you're not going to have in the Bible, but everything else is in there. 99% of your life is found in the Bible. Does he want me to punch that guy in the face? No, the Bible says. So you don't have to ask God about everything. You need to go first. What does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say? If you ask anything according to his will, which is his word, if you ask anything according to his word, he hears you. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we should have. We know that we have the petitions we asked of him. So this is a strange way to say it, but John, the apostle, says, if we know that he hears us, or we can say the Holy Spirit said it this way through John. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have it. So if he hears you, you got it. You need some confidence in that. So the goal is to just get him to hear you. That's an interesting way to look at it. Because people think that God's omniscient. He knows everything about everybody. He hears everything. He hears all of your grumbling and complaining. And no, I don't think so. He could if he wanted to. I don't think he wants to. All of your doubt-filled, problem-rehearsing praying, I don't think he listens. He could if he wanted to. I think he chooses not to. This says there's some things he doesn't hear. Not that he couldn't, but that he just didn't want to. What's the use of listening to your garbage? I don't think God watches people's sins. He just turns his head, minds somebody else's business. The goal is to get him to hear you. And if he hears you, you got your answer. The secret to him hearing you is that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. If you ask anything according to his word, he hears you. If you ask for healing according to his word, he hears you. Boom. And if he hears you, you got it. So you can walk away and go cook pancakes. You can be so confident because you prayed according to his Bible, according to his word, according to these scriptures, according to these statements, according to these Holy Spirit-filled, inspired truths of God. Because you prayed this way, that settles it. Now listen, the human soul that can treat it that firmly, solidly, with that much integrity, can have miracles in their life. It's not easy. Look at me, it's not easy. Because your soul has all this stuff in it. Has all these thoughts, all these images, all these worries, all this past experience, all this threat of what if it doesn't, and what if it didn't, and what if. Your soul is a complex beast. But the human soul that can trust it that confidently can have miracles. So the fight of faith is to make yourself believe it in the depths of your heart, to read it until it takes root, to say it until it starts taking root, to stand on it firm enough until you have no other way to stand. And when you can get yourself all the way to the edge, you'll start seeing miracles. But the Word of God is the only way to fight through all of your fears, all of your uncertainties. You got to believe this truth so strongly. And to believe it that strongly, you got to see it in front of your eyes all the time. Do not let my word depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You got to be a word person if you're going to get miracles in your life. You're going to have to be a word person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, if I look back and you know, as I try to tell stories to help you, you know, see that it can be applied, the miracles in my life, I think all of them had to do with the Word of God. They all had an anchor into God's Word. They were all about my soul knowing something because God said it. That allowed me to have confidence and faith, and then God was able to answer me. All the miracles you read about, start watching them. I've been a great student of all the past revivals and miracles and men and women of God that did things for God. And I've been a student of reading the story, glorifying God, but then also examining the keys. What caused it? It wasn't some special person. What caused that miracle and that miracle and that miracle? How did that happen? Why did that happen? Who had the faith in this case? If you're going to beat the devil, you're going to have faith in his word. Jesus had confidence in God's word. All he had to do was quote a scripture to the devil. The devil left. Jesus, all he did was quote the truth. All he did was know the truth, quote the truth, and the devil left him for a season. He tempted him 3 times. Jesus had to quote 3 times. Jesus beat the devil because he resisted him with God's word. Eve lost to the devil because she did not continue quoting God. If you're going to beat the devil and resist him, you're going to have to quote the word. You have to stand against the devil. Hallelujah. All right, 2 more scriptures and then we're gone. Go to 1 Peter. Turn left about 3 pages. You'll be in 1 Peter. Type in 1 PET. It's a whole new age, isn't it? 1 PE 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is how you're born again. It's the seed that goes in you and births you. Then you're commanded to grow after you're born again, commanded to grow like a seed. The Word of God which lives and abides forever. The Word of God never passes away. Remember, Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God upholds his word. He magnifies his word, and that's what today is a reminder of. Verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Glory to God. One thing that the Word of God does for us is it builds the image of our new self. We have a new nature. We were by nature the children of wrath, assigned for the day of wrath like everybody else out there. But then we got born again, we became new creatures. The Word of God helps you learn your new nature as a new creature, as a new creation. Christians are not just trying to fix their behavior a bit. We're actually new creatures trying to learn our new behavior. You have a new nature. It's a holy nature. It's a godly nature. And you won't know it unless you look in the mirror. Reading the Bible is compared to looking in the mirror so you can learn and remember who you are. If you don't look in here, you won't see the right image of yourself. Verse 11. Now, this is a picture of Jesus that John had, and some interesting description here, but I want you to see this. Now, I saw heaven open. This is 11. Revelation 19, 11. This is at the end of the tribulation. John seeing Jesus. Jesus coming back on a white horse, going to dominate the world. All the saints come with him to dominate the world. We set up camp and rule for 1,000 years. That's what's coming. After the rapture, after the tribulation years, after we come back with Jesus for 1,000, it's going to be glorious. We're going to fix all the problems. Pick your favorite problem in the earth, and you're going to get to fix it. I'm going to get to fix the street lights that aren't timed properly. Brother David, he's gonna fix the news media. Just wipe them out. Just wipe them out. Put them in the tank. Put them in some tank where they can learn. I don't know. It would be the gossip tank. There's a gossip room during the 1,000-year reign. We're going to put all the news, all the journalists, unless they're Christians. It's a shame that you can't trust any news outlet these days. Isn't that weird? It's just weird. It's maddening, but you know what? It's just the way things are. The devil's a liar, and he's got a lot of people under his paw. So it's unfortunate, but don't get frustrated now. Just wait till later. I've always said this, to try to help Christians not live a frustrated Christian existence, being mad at all the sin. Don't do that. Don't do that. Live gloriously. Shine bright. Love deeply. We'll fix that mess later. We're going to fix all that mess later. All that garbage, we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Like for 1,000 years, we're going to put signs all over the world that says humans didn't destroy the earth. All right, here we go. Verse 11, now I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. He's not making war now. This is when he comes back. Big battle, day of Armageddon. I think we're probably going to need to do some end times teaching this year. How about that? Yes. All right. I keep wanting to get away from it, but you need to hear a few of these things. There's answers for what's coming, and maybe we'll do it this year. Okay, verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. When you lift up this Bible, you're lifting up Jesus. When you honor this word, you're honoring Jesus. When you quote this word, you're quoting Jesus. When you stand closely and firmly with this word of God, you're with Jesus. Hallelujah. If you love this word, then you love Jesus. And if you don't love this word, you don't really love him. You got to like the Bible. You got to like the teaching. You got to like the scriptures. You got to read it and want it. You got to like it better than pancakes, maple syrup. That's twice. IHOP, look out. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, which right now is paused during the church age. But this final day battle is going to begin the wrath of God, or it's the end of the wrath of the 7 years tribulation. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes. Praise the Lord. Just want you to see this description of Jesus, because his name is the Word of God. I mean, it's like pretty important. To say it in here is pretty important. And then you get another picture of Jesus that's better than what you've seen hanging in churches. The picture you see in churches is sad Jesus and usually dead Jesus. Well, I got news for you. First of all, he's no longer a baby. We don't need baby pictures everywhere. Like, you don't need to see my baby pictures. How many of you want to see my baby? Don't raise your hand. You don't go around touting your baby picture. Look at my baby picture, everybody. Look at my baby picture, everybody. Hey, look who I married. See him when he was a baby? Look, he was a cute baby. That's not weird. That's weird. That is so weird, it must be demonic. It must mean the devil is the one that's perpetrated this baby Jesus picture everywhere. But then also, the dead Jesus picture. You don't need the dead Jesus picture. You really don't. Look, we honor him and what he did. We just had communion and remembered his death until he comes. But don't get that image in your mind. He's alive. He defeated death. He destroyed the grave. He's a victor. I mean, have you ever seen a picture like this of him? No. No. Why? Because the devil has no interest in painting a real portrait of Jesus. Flames coming out of his eyes, a head with many crowns. That's impossible to paint. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Praise the Lord. If you're going to have any picture of natural looking Jesus, at least put a smile on his face and keep him alive. I've got two of those in my office. Laughing Jesus and smiling Jesus. He's not sad European Jesus. Listen, God did not paint those. He did not inspire somebody to paint those sad looking pictures of a European Jesus. He is the Word of God. And if you can treat the Word of God with that much esteem as if Jesus showed up, it'll start working in your life. If you need a little bit of money for this month, trust his word, you'll see it come. If you need a new job, trust his word, you'll see it come. If you need some joy and peace in your life, trust his, find some scripture about joy and peace and start putting it in your heart until all of a sudden it starts taking place in you. If you need to start walking in love better, put some love scripture in you. Quote it and quote it and quote it until all of a sudden you start being nice at home. And you have permission. If your spouse has not been nice lately, say you need some word. You haven't been, you're not standing on the word of God to walk in love. Oh, I love you, honey. You know I love you, honey. Then you better start acting like it. You better start walking in love. Start being kind and gentle and peaceable. We need the word, don't we?
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.